listening to an extra shot episode on the Project Zion podcast, a shorter episode that lets you get your Project Zion fix in between our full-length episodes. It might be shorter time-wise, but hopefully not in content. So regardless of the temperature at which you prefer your caffeine, sit back and enjoy this extra shot.
Hello, and welcome to the Project Zion podcast. I'm your host, Carla Long, and today you are listening to Holy Grounds, a series where we explore different spiritual practices and how they make a difference in our lives. And I'm here with a good friend of mine, Lisa Ash Drackert, who teaches yoga in Kansas City, Missouri, or is it Westport, Kansas City? I'm not sure exactly where you teach, but Lisa, thank you so much for being here.
Well, thanks for having me, Carla.
I'm excited to hear about you. So let's hear a little bit about you and then let's just jump into the podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. I am a yoga teacher and a business owner. I own a yoga studio here in Kansas City, Missouri. I'm also a Community of Christ minister and a writer and a new mom.
Yes, Lisa and I were just talking about being new moms together and how it is a life changer for sure. So Lisa, let's just jump right into this podcast. I think I know what spiritual practice we're going to be talking about today, and it's yoga. So why don't you just jump in and tell me a little bit about it?
Yeah, I think the idea of yoga as a spiritual practice is new to many people. It's kind of a contemporary thing that most of us know what a yoga class looks like from magazines or TV now. But yoga actually has a very specific worldview. It's not just a fitness routine or a wellness routine. The word yoga itself is a spiritual practice because it's a translation of the word from an ancient language called Sanskrit, which comes to us from like the Indus River Valley area, so kind of like ancient India. And the translation for the word yoga is actually union with the divine. So it's a philosophy, it's a worldview, it's an architecture for health and well-being, and then of course, it's something that you can take classes in, which is what I do at my studio. We offer classes in meditation, in yoga pranayama, which is a fancy word for breath work, and then of course the poses, which are therapeutic to healing the body, and all that together is one spiritual practice.
So you do yoga and meditation all in one, or it's separated out?
Both, actually. So it looks like three different spiritual practices, but it's all under one heading, which as Christians, we're really familiar with. We're familiar with the idea of a triune or a trinity. We're familiar with the idea of body, mind, and spirit, or you know, Christ, God, and the Holy Spirit. So yoga actually has eight pieces, not just three, but three of those are breath work, meditation, and then the poses that we're most familiar with.
Really interesting. So can you tell us a little bit more? I love how you link that already to the Trinity. I think that is, I'm going to have to think about that in a little bit, but can you tell us about the eight different parts of yoga?
Sure. The eight different parts of yoga. So this is like the most classical yoga philosophy. The first one is ethical considerations. So it's how do we reduce suffering within our community to have more health and wellness and more ease and peace in our relationships. The second is personal practices. So how do you take care of your body? How do you take care of your home to have more ease in your relationships and more inner peace? The third one is like the poses. Those are called asana. That's the yoga word for the poses. And that's to make your body strong and healthy. The fourth part is very specific breath work exercises. And we call that pranayama. And I say that word because I want to get back to that. Prana in Sanskrit, so the language of yoga, is actually the same concept as the ancient Hebrew concept of ruach, or spirit and breath from the Old Testament. So I definitely want to get back to that one. The fifth part is this concept of being able to focus inward. We call that pratyahara in yoga, and it means withdrawing the senses inward, which is basically what we do when we work for centering prayer or take time to go into stillness in the Christian philosophy. And then the last two practices, so this is the sixth and the seventh part, are mindfulness and meditation. So those kind of go together. And then the eighth practice, of course, as everyone knows, is like eternal bliss and, you know, union with the divine at all times, becoming enlightened.
Of course, which everyone just basically gets to, of course. Everyone's
yeah, I mean, last week, pretty much, but.
Yeah, I mean, it happens.
Yeah, it does happen.
I had no idea that there was so much in yoga. I'm actually kind of shocked. So do you want to jump back into pranayama now?
Yeah. And
tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So pranayama are very specific breath work exercises that come to us from the yoga tradition. And they are designed specifically to move energy within the body in very specific ways. So like if you're feeling really tired, there are specific breath work exercises to help boost your energy and boost vitality and kind of move blood around. If you're feeling really distracted, there are specific breathing exercises to help you calm and focus the mind. And then if you're feeling really stressed, there are specific breathing exercises to help you calm down. And the greatest thing about this is like, this is a very physical thing. It's measurable, it's researchable, and there are studies designed right now that are showing the amazing physiological and biological benefits, like in the medical world, from these yogic breathing exercises, reducing your heart rate, stabilizing blood pressure, lowering pain, reducing inflammation. All sorts of incredible healing benefits come from these pranayama practices, which is really short practices, 5 minutes, about 5 to 6 times a day. Or there's a new study out that says a lot of these benefits come from 12 minutes after just 5 sessions of breathing. So basically the whole thing about yoga is, how do I heal my mind? How do I heal my body? How do I heal my spirit so that I can live with greater meaning and greater depth? And there's 8 ways to do it, according to yoga, right? So it's a whole architecture that I think sets the framework for your life, like being a spiritual practice itself.
Oh, absolutely. It sounds like it does. Is that what kind of the feedback that you get from your students when you're teaching? Do you hear that from them?
A big part of my teaching and a big part of my ministry is self-care as a spiritual practice, right? It's really the bedrock for healed communities, I think. So when it comes to my students, well, first of all, I do have yoga students who just kind of learn the yoga philosophy, but then I also work one-on-one therapeutically with private clients who are healing from specific injuries, specific surgeries or procedures or specific illnesses. But what we see over and over again are, this is just an ancient technology for helping us orient our life around self-care. And as you know, and as I know, like, people who are healthy are happier. People who are not in pain make more compassionate, more gracious choices.
This is really cool to hear. I'm really enjoying hearing this. So if someone is listening to you and thinking, oh my gosh, I desperately need this in my life, how do they start learning about it, or how do they start doing it?
My first piece of advice is to actually start with the breath work piece, the pranayama practices. Pretty much because they're accessible to everyone, right? The breath is free. The breath is our meaning. It is our connection to life. And I think that in my experience, it's the most profound, the most like potent part of the yoga philosophy. So I actually do on my website have quite a few like audio guided meditations and audio guided breath work or pranayama exercises. Honestly, they're all over YouTube as well. So that would be a great resource. And then my second piece of advice is to find a therapeutic yoga teacher. Just like any practice, you can do it with any intention. So you may find a yoga teacher who has a very deep spiritual connection to the yoga philosophy that you can learn from, or you might find a yoga teacher in your community who's just more interested in the poses or the asanas or the sequence, and they might be a good resource too. But if you're really looking for the philosophy, find an authentic teacher, right? Find someone who can give you feedback and that you can learn from. But I always think starting with the breath work is what's most important and most potent, because, you know, you can do the poses all day long. You can be a gymnast and still not be enlightened.
And your breath is always with you.
Your breath is always with you.
Always there. And you mentioned your website. Could we tell our listeners what that is?
Yeah, my website is just lisaashyoga.com. And the page on there that will have quite a few resources called guided meditations. But the website itself just has a wealth of resources, kind of short, manageable articles and blog posts about how this ancient philosophy affects and informs our daily self-care practices and mindfulness, really. So a good little resource there, hopefully to get you started, but then of course we can look for your own teacher as well.
Sure. So that's lisaashyoga.com.
Mm-hmm. Got it. Absolutely.
So I don't know if this is the direction you want to go or not, but one of the questions I usually ask on the Holy Grounds series is, how does this doing this practice change you or change your day? And you do it every day, I'm assuming, because you have students. But I'm curious about how it could change your day. How if you know any stories or anything about how people have been different or changed because of what they've done.
Something that's interesting that I hear from some of my students is a new awareness about their own goodness that they've learned through a dedicated yoga practice. There's so much, I think, in our materialistic kind of contemporary culture that tells us that we're not good enough. And even some students who come to me who are kind of consider themselves post-religious have picked up this idea from their families, their communities, even from their spiritual practices, like that their body is not good. And this practice really teaches us to inhabit our physical body and care for our physical body and note that what we put in really matters. So that's one way I think that yoga as a spiritual practice can inform your day. Just creating this sense of self-love and self-care. I know for me, yoga has been incredibly healing on a body level and a self-image level. I've learned to really, really care and to listen to my body and rest when I need to rest and not overwork, which is my tendency, right? So I think first of all, just reaffirming the goodness of our bodies, this incredible gift that is always moving towards optimal health, can be life-changing for people. And I hear that feedback from my students pretty regularly. And then, you know, the second big one that I hear from my students, how yoga changes their day, the second, you know, most prominent thing is that they're just less stressed. Having a moment to reset, having one dedicated hour where your entire job is to be present and not be in two places at once or not be distracted or fragmented is like the most incredible gift you can give yourself, I think. And even just for some of my students, just imagining that they could be relaxed or that they could feel present is such a mind shift that their entire day starts to change from there. You know, I see a lot of my clients at the end of the day. I see a lot of my clients after they get off work. And a lot of my clients have helping jobs. They're on the front lines. They're, you know, working in the NICU, they're working in community rehabilitation programs, they're working in public schools, they're working in the ER, they're providing healthcare, you know, they're working with their own counseling or psychology clients who are coming to them for mental health. They need a space, I think, to just reset and to just like set aside any of the stress or all the daily stuff that we pick up from talking to other people, like that just isn't really ours. You know, if you have a stressful encounter with someone at work, like it's kind of hard to put that down. It's hard to let that go, right? And in yoga class, we're always saying, just let it go. You know, be here with your breath. Everything else can wait outside the door. And it's like a timeout. I mean, you're a mom. Sometimes like you just need a time out to regroup and really assess what's important. And if you can get your body to relax and not be in that constant state of stress or like stress response, your whole day changes, right? You're more present. You're more compassionate.
You know, I hear that a lot on the Holy Grounds series, is that after people do mindfulness or after people are intentional about spiritual practices, that's really what I hear. You're more compassionate. You're more kind. And I love that you used the word earlier. You used the word goodness. People are more convinced of their own goodness, because I really think that's what God wants us to be convinced of. God has said that we are good. Mm. And I once got into a very big argument with someone who he didn't believe my philosophies and I did not believe his. And we realized that I thought that people were inherently good and he thought people were inherently not good. And I was like, there are people who think that? Oh my gosh. But I mean, I do think it takes work to remind ourselves of that. So I love that intentional part of yoga and different spiritual practices that reminds us of that.
Yeah, it's amazing. So in yoga, it's a very specific philosophy, what you just described. And the word for that is Atman. And in yoga, the philosophy is based around this worldview or this cosmology that all of this, like every single person, is just one unique manifestation of the inner light that connects and unites and sustains all of life, and that is inherently beautiful. And so in yoga, we call that inner light, like the one that's inside of you, we call it your Atman. It's basically your soul. And everything we're doing in yoga is trying to get you back to that connection with that soul, with that Atman, with that inner light. Like, that's why this practice is around. That's why it's so life-changing, because sometimes like nothing else matters. Things that we thought were really, really important before yoga practice, an hour later, not that important. Like everything can wait while we take care of ourselves and take care of our families.
Yeah, I can imagine, you know, there are times when I get into like this horrible rhythm in my head and like this circular place. It's like, what are people thinking about me? What am I trying to do to help what people are thinking about me? And I just can't get out of that cycle. And it sounds like something like practicing yoga or meditation or mindfulness or all the things that you're describing basically just breaks that cycle and gets you out of your own head, which we desperately need. I desperately need sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. That's one reason why walking meditation, right, is helpful, why yoga is a body practice. Just exactly what you said. I think sometimes we're stuck in like a vertical theology. You know, we're always moving into this mind space. And yoga is a very, very direct move away from a vertical theology. It is inherently about the body. It's about grounding in the body. That's why the poses are important, right? Because like where I place my left foot, it matters. Like where my foundation is, it matters. Where my values and my motivations for acting are in this world, like that all matters because it's where I put my left foot on the yoga mat. So we get to use our body as a foundation for this sense of finding goodness and meaning instead of just being caught in our heads, which half the stuff we think isn't true anyway, right?
You're absolutely right. Or nobody cares.
Or no one cares. Absolutely.
We think everyone's caring and nobody really cares at all, actually. Which is freeing and kind of sad all at the same time.
Yeah, life check.
Yes. So earlier when you were talking about the eight parts of yoga, you talked about mindfulness and meditation and you just like kind of threw them together a little bit. Mm. But I've heard maybe that they're different. And, you know, like we say mindfulness and meditation usually just interchangeably, but can you talk a little bit more about that and tell us a little bit more?
Yeah, absolutely. The easiest way to remember that is that mindfulness is a bedrock skill that helps you develop the practice of formal meditation. So I always think about it like I have to know my letters before I can read a paragraph, right? So mindfulness can be very formal, such as a formal walking meditation. Mindfulness is a mindset that can be used in like chanting, or it can just be in everyday activities. It can just be the mindset of being present in whatever you're doing. The most classical examples, of course, are washing dishes, carrying water, being present, body, mind, and spirit in one place. And that's a skill that you can develop, right? You can practice mindfulness by being fully present in a conversation with a friend. You can practice mindfulness by the way you tie your shoes. You can practice mindfulness in all areas of your life. It's a skill that you develop. Meditation is more of a formal practice, right? And but you have to be mindful in order to be able to sit with your thoughts. So in yoga, typically meditation is silent. Not always, but typically. It's typically done in a seated orientation, but if that's not possible for your body, you can do it in a lying down manner or in a chair, just whatever's comfortable for you. But meditation in the yoga philosophy is about noticing the thoughts in the mind, developing the role of the observer, so observing the thoughts in the mind, and then choosing which thoughts are most helpful in your healing process and which thoughts are just thoughts like that don't really matter or they're not really true or that are purposefully causing you suffering, like that you just don't need anymore. So you really need to be mindful as a skill in order to have a successful meditation practice. And so those are the last, the limbs that you were mentioning. That's part six and part seven. The eighth one, of course, being, you know, eternal enlightenment and peace. And
of course. Of course.
Yeah.
So that's really interesting and actually very helpful. So we really should not be using mindfulness and meditation interchangeably at all, because they are very different things.
Yeah, I don't know. It depends on who you are. they're definitely connected. They are not synonymous, but you know, they need each other to work.
Interesting. Ah, that's very cool. So you are so knowledgeable about this, Lisa. Thank you so much for being on the podcast. Thanks so much for talking about this. Where did you get started with this? Have you always been into yoga, or was it something you kind of fell into? Tell us just a little bit about how you're into this.
Yeah, I actually started teaching yoga in 2008. I discovered yoga first when I was in high school. I was a dancer. I always say I had to be a yoga teacher. I was a dancer and I grew up with pastors in my household. So combining, you know, my love for spiritual practice and for creating compassionate communities with my love for movement was really a natural step for me. I went to Graceland University in Lamoni, Iowa, and I started teaching dance at the one movement studio right in the town. And there they had yoga, Pilates, and dance. And so I began studying with the yoga teachers there who were my bosses as an intern. And I completed my first teacher training program even before I graduated college. So it really was my first career. And I've been teaching now for almost 12 years. Really where I started finding my niche, though, was in bringing together spiritual healing and physical healing from an anatomy-based, like very specific alignment-based methodology. I study with an organization called Yoga Medicine. And Yoga Medicine is an organization that empowers yoga teachers to work as an adjunct for healing with a client's other healthcare professionals. So I'm what's called a yoga medicine therapeutic specialist. And my specialty is meeting somebody who is looking for healing. So maybe recovering from an autoimmune disorder, healing a specific injury after joint replacement procedure, after a life change like pregnancy, for instance. Meeting these people where they're at and giving them the yoga tools from all aspects of the yoga philosophy. So the breath work, the poses, the meditation, the spiritual part, and then working with their healthcare providers to kind of come up with a healing protocol for them that just leads to greater wholeness and greater meaning on all levels. So it's a little bit like a physical therapist, but I get to talk about God and spirit all the time.
That sounds pretty wonderful.
It's the best thing in the world.
Yeah. And it sounds like you really, really do love it.
I love it. I love it.
Is it a 40-hour a week job for you, or is it just here?
Oh, I own my own business. So it's like an 80-hour a week job.
Oh, right. Yes. You keep busy. And hopefully you take time for yourself as well.
Yeah. And I'm just so lucky that I work every single day in like the least stressful environment possible. Right? I go to work every day in a yoga studio.
That's true. Even though books probably call your name too. Books and keeping accounting and all that yuckiness.
I don't do math, Carla.
Oh, my bad.
That's your job.
Oh, that's true. I do love it. Well, that's really cool. I didn't realize that you worked with doctors and like the holistic kind of healing. I think that sounds really wonderful.
Yeah, it's a really specialized practice. And listeners, if you are interested in yoga medicine, you can go online. The website is yogamedicine.com. And there's a great search feature on this website where you type in either your city name or your zip code and a listing of all the yoga medicine therapeutic specialists in your area will be available to you. So if you're looking for someone who has a specialist in spinal therapeutics like I am, or shoulder therapeutics or myofascial release, like that's something that you could find and reach out to that specialist as well.
Oh, that's pretty cool. That's really cool. What was it? Yogamedicine.com?
Yep. Yogamedicine.com.
Cool. So if people are interested, are there any resources, other resources that you would suggest that they have a look at, books to read or podcasts to listen to or other websites that you have found particularly helpful if people just want to dip their toe in first before jumping all the way in?
Absolutely. There's an app that's called Insight Timer, which is what I suggest as your first stop. It has thousands of audio guided meditations. And it's available for iPhone and Android. And then my other resources, I'm still a book girl. I'm not on the internet maybe as much as most people. So anything by Jack Kornfield, he's one of the leading meditation teachers in the country. And then of course, anything by Sharon Salzberg, another leading meditation teacher. If you're interested in just learning a little bit more about the yoga side of this, there's a really great book by teacher Rolf Gates. It's called Meditations from the Mat, and it's 365 days, short, accessible reading and meditations about the eight limbs of yoga or the eight parts of yoga. That's a really great place to start. But of course, get a teacher. Everything that can be learned from an expert is worth it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it really sounds like it. It sounds like if you decide to do this, then do it right, you know, and do it in a way that is going to make a difference in your life. Not just a shallow difference in your life, but it sounds like you could make some pretty incredible moves forward in your life if you do it right.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, this has just been enlightening for me. I mean, I haven't reached quite enlightenment yet, but maybe, Lisa, if you and I talked for another hour, I might get there.
Yeah, probably step eight.
No wonder your students would love to come to you. Well, thank you again for being here. Is there anything that you wanted me to ask you in the podcast that I did not ask you, or something else that you want to make sure and say before we sign off?
No, I don't think so.
Just find a teacher and jump in.
Yeah, give it a try.
Yeah, give it a try. Well, thank you so much, Lisa. This has been awesome. I've learned so much, and I appreciate you taking the time.
Yeah, thanks for listening, Carla.
Thanks for listening to Project Zion Podcast. Subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcast, Stitcher, or whatever podcast streaming service you use, and while you are there, give us a 5-star rating. Project Zion Podcast is sponsored by Latter-day Seeker Ministries of Community of Christ. The views and opinions expressed in this episode are of those speaking and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of Latter-day Seeker Ministries or Community of Christ. The music has been graciously provided by Dave Hines.